Since September, we've had here at Advent a question each week. They're on those little triangles on the table, to invite discussion with each other. They come in the announcements. You see it at the end of the bulletin, and they're on those center tables and in the email blasts. We want everyone to know that this church is a safe place to ask questions. So, if Jesus came to coffee hour, what questions would you ask Jesus? One person said they'd ask him, "What's the point of mosquitoes?" Sometimes questions, though, asking them can feel a bit intimidating if it seems to be that the person you're asking would expect something either more interesting from you or more profound, or that maybe you have no right to be questioning mosquitoes in the creation. Also, asking questions can be risky. You might get an answer that you don't want to hear, that maybe you're not equipped to deal with. The answer could be disturbing or painful, or it may make you reassess your assumptions. Sometimes it's easier not to ask. But not to ask questions in order to keep our assumptions and our worldview safe is to put ourselves in a little protective bubble that limits our freedom to grow. Good teachers question our assumptions so that we'll come to a deeper understanding. For teachers, the notion of secret knowledge is anathema. And Jesus, the good teacher, wants everyone to know everything there is to know about the kingdom of God. What we get from him brings so much freedom from our assumptions about rewards and deserving that it's uncomfortable. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, was educated to find comfort in the knowledge that obedience to a set of rules would make you acceptable for God's kingdom. And yet he found himself uncomfortably aware that it just didn't seem to be enough. So he goes to Jesus. For the same reason that we humans want that kind of comfort, when we don't want to ask questions that disturb us. But Nicodemus asked. Martin Luther, too, was brought up in a system that told him how to be right with God, and he got uncomfortable when he questioned it. Both of them found themselves wrestling with the assumptions that they had about God, and that wrestling pushed them out of their comfort zones. Perhaps you've had a time of wrestling with your Christian life, wrestling with questions that have pushed you. Perhaps you came into the Christian faith wanting answers that would keep you comfortable. And instead, you're finding questions. So, like Nicodemus, you may come to church in faith, seeking understanding. Like him, you may live with the question, how can I find the kingdom of God and be sure about it? We treat it like there must be some secret answer that if we could just have it, would clarify everything and make us comfortable and ultimately then make faith unnecessary. We wouldn't need faith if we had the ultimate answer, because we would know and understand everything. And Jesus says, sure, there's an ultimate answer. Here it is. Be reborn. Poor Nicodemus. That's a scary answer. It means that everything he's thought and lived by are going to have to be reassessed. So he's struggling between the attractions of tribe and status and the attraction of Jesus. If he rejects Jesus, all and rejects all those comforts of his life and friends that'll happen if he accepts Jesus. So if he rejects Jesus, he will have all those known comforts. And he'll have the security of not doubting that he's just doing exactly what's right. If he lets in the ideas of Jesus, then he has to let in the Holy Spirit to be free to change him and accept the idea that God might work in ways that he'd always been told were off limits. This is scary. Who is this Jesus who's saying this? And how can I really know if it's God's way? How can I have that kind of faith? How can I let go? It's the same as it was for Abraham when God called him to act in faith and leave his home and religion and family and comfort zone. It wasn't at all clear what the outcome or the direction would be, or even who was this God who was calling him. Like Abraham, God's always calling you into a land that God will show you, a place you don't know, an understanding that you don't have. For the world that we live in today, this element of freedom is scary because it feels like there are no roadmaps, no GPS. Each situation requires new thinking and wrestling and wondering if our decision is right. And what if we're wrong? Do we dare take the risk of moving out of our conditioned comfort zones? Nicodemus does not have a fabulous conversion following his conversation with Jesus. He continues to struggle and slowly change as the Spirit works to create faith in him to the extent that God thinks he needs it. We don't hear of him again until the crucifixion. And he's still hanging around, still attracted to Jesus, still wanting to get to know God through him. His conversion is far from instantaneous. He doesn't get born again in a flash. In fact, he's confused by the whole situation. And Abraham, after his experience of God talking to him, doesn't suddenly become enlightened for all time as a faithful person always. The story of Abraham goes on in the book of Genesis with many lurches and stumbles, and God keeps coming back with an reiteration and restatement of the promises. Abraham doesn't get it all right, and he never gets to see those promises worked out. And yet, the faith that he does operate on is enough. Because it's God that's doing the blessing. God does the work for Abraham of blessing him with the faith that he needs in order to be a blessing. And God does the work of making you free, too, to be a blessing. God does your rebirthing without your doing anything to aid the process. Just as in your human birth, you didn't do anything. Your mother did all the work. God made the covenant with Abraham and blessed him before he'd done anything to deserve it. As the first chapter of the Gospel of John said of Jesus, he came to make us children of God. Children of God who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. God's choice to rebirth us is God's declaration that not that we have to have faith in God, but that God has faith in us. Faith that as God's children, we will bless the world. This is the way in which God loves the world, in sending Jesus into it and us into it. The word translated love means deep and unshakable attachment. That's what God has for the world, no matter how much the world rejects God. Abraham never did anything to be a blessing. He only had faith and trusted that God would make him a blessing. And that faith was reckoned to him as righteousness, just as it is for us. Because the more that we trust God's promises, the deeper our relationship with God becomes. And that faith, given in our baptismal rebirth, brings the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit accompanies us and empowers us to face a future we may feel is uncertain, but a future that's been secured by the death and resurrection of Jesus. From this perspective, the anxiety that many of us may feel because there is no roadmap can be transformed into excitement. There's a roadmap! There's no. It means that we're free. We don't have to do things the way they've always been done. There's no roadmap! We can experiment, risk, fail. When you do an experiment, there's always the risk of failing, and you don't learn anything new without failing. So you learn and grow in ways that you never imagined, because the Spirit of Christ will blow us in a direction that we hadn't imagined. And we have from Jesus, who's the ultimate source of our confidence, we have from Jesus this promise. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God intends good for us, both here in our life together and ultimately in our eternal life with God. For this reason, whatever setbacks or even failures we may experience, they are always temporary, because God has promised to redeem the world in and through Jesus, which again lends us a measure of freedom. Take risks. It's okay. The Son was not sent to condemn, but to save. So it's not about who's in and who's out, but rather about God's consistent intent to love and save and bless the whole world, the cosmos, everyone. And for God, everyone means everyone. We're blessed to live in a country that takes that seriously, even in a secular sense. As George Washington said, ours will be a government and people that gives bigotry no sanction and persecution no assistance. Freedom is for everyone, no qualifiers. So how can I find the kingdom? The kingdom where Washington's vision and God's vision live? How can I know where the answers are that put me in line with that kingdom? You can't find it, because the kingdom finds you and sends you with more questions than answers into the world that God loves. But you don't go alone. God goes with you all the way. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.